come together. It is a Wednesday on B&E. That's right. Turn that dang page. We're dragging you up over the hump and into a new football weekend. That's what we do on Wednesdays. Get rid of the past weekend. Look forward to the new. Pretty good stuff in the college ranks coming. NFL was gangbusters in week one. We talked about the TV ratings. 7% spike overall from year to year. And some of the most watched games in years. The Thursday night game with the Cowboys and Buccaneers, the most watched Sunday night game, Thursday night game as an opener since 2015. And then the Monday night game on Monday night was the most watched Monday night opener since 2013. And they both were great games. I mean, that's part of it. When we talk about ratings and viewers, it's about total viewers and then how long they stick with it. And so, you can have a game that everyone, like Packers, Saints, I'm assuming started with a pretty good rating with Aaron Rodgers and against the New Orleans Saints, but by the second half, everybody had tuned it out, so that drops the overall rating a big number. And so, if you have two games like you had on Thursday night with Tampa Bay and Dallas, that goes to the buzzer, and then Raiders and Ravens on Monday night that goes into overtime and wins in a walk off, it's just very compelling and a lot of great characters involved with Lamar Jackson and Derek Carr and John Gruden and. Of course, Dak Prescott and Tom Brady, but just huge rating points for the weekend for the NFL. So it's off to a strong start. Week two begins tomorrow night with Giants and Washington football team, and then college this weekend. The best game of the college weekend is an SEC tilt. It's Alabama and Florida. The question is, will it be a good game? I know by the rankings, it's Alabama number one, Florida number 11, and they're both 2-0. But as the week goes on, we'll drill down on that game. But that is the alleged best game of the weekend. That'll be fun. There's also one, Auburn and Penn State, which is a cool non-conference matchup with Auburn at 2-0 and Bo Nix playing good football going into Happy Valley to play a 2-0 Penn State team that's ranked number 10 in the nation right now. That one's got some intrigue to it. Out west, the best game is a late one with Arizona State and BYU. Both teams are ranked right now. And other than that, those are your only – I think the early game at 11 o'clock on Saturday that will be the best is there's a couple – Cincinnati, number 8 in the country with Luke Fickle, going to Indiana. Remember, Indiana was supposed to be a good team, or they may be a good team. They were ranked in the preseason, got driven by Iowa in week one. They won their second game. Now they get Luke Fickle in Cincinnati. Michigan State's at Miami of Florida. How about Michigan State off to a 2-0 start? That's a little bit of a surprise in college football. And, of course, at 11 o'clock on Saturday, Nebraska and Oklahoma will play. Sooners are 3-0. Or excuse me, 2-0 and number 3 in the country. Nebraska is 2-1. But that's going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the game of the century, 1971, with Johnny Rogers and the punt return and Nebraska and Oklahoma. I know what the real game of the century is in these parts. I get it. But a lot of people still consider that one of the games of the century, Nebraska and Oklahoma 50 years ago. So they'll play. But that game won't be close either, as Oklahoma's really good and Nebraska is not. But we'll start to really drill in on these games. The college football weekend, the Big 12, outside of that Oklahoma-Nebraska game, there's some intrigue games. There's actually a conference matchup with Baylor playing Kansas in Big 12 play. How about Oklahoma State and Boise State, Zay? That's Saturday night. That'll be interesting with the Cowboys headed to Boise. That'll be a game that people will stay up and watch, I would imagine, after the Longhorn game. So we'll start to get into those games, the NFL week, and that's what we do on a Wednesday, drag you up over the hump. Let's get you the headlines of today, though. There's a lot going on. Let's get you the very latest as we start your 8 o'clock hour. Top Gun, Lawn Equipment Rentals bring you the news, and we start with the Longhorns, 1-1 now on the season, and now turning their full attention to Rice, their final tune-up game ahead of Big 12 conference play. On Monday, head coach Steve Sarkisian announced that redshirt junior Casey Thompson will be the starting quarterback. It'll be his first time to start a game at Texas. He's been on the campus 4 years now, and Thompson revealed yesterday that it'll be his first start since 2017 when he was in high school at Newcastle High in Oklahoma City.
I'm excited. I've waited a long time for this opportunity, and I don't know. I just think it's a testament to perseverance and hard work. And I'm excited for this team, the opportunity that we have to bounce back and to continue to push forward and press on towards the goals that we still have at hand.
Yep, Longhorns and Rice Owls coming up on Saturday night, 7 o'clock, will be your kick time pregame, double barrel pregame coverage coming from Bevo Boulevard and the Texas Tail Garden. Starts at 3. Just a week into the season, the Cowboys already dealing with some adversity, a blow on their offensive line. Jerry Jones, on his weekly radio hit yesterday, did confirm that Lael Collins, the starting right tackle, has indeed been suspended for 5 games for violations of the league's substance abuse policy. They will not appeal, according to Jones. There will be no appeal. And Terrence Steele will replace Collins during this suspension. The team did get some good news yesterday, Cowboys. Zach Martin is back after an off the COVID list. He'll be back playing right guard for the Cowboys this week. He was removed, but Randy Gregory was added to it, the defensive end. He reportedly has tested positive. Cowboys at the L.A. Chargers Sunday afternoon, 3:25. You heard that game here on the Horn. Austin FC back on the pitch tonight at Q2, welcoming the LAFC to the Capital City for the second time this summer. It's already the third match this year with the Austin FC and the LAFC. L.A.'s won the previous two by the identical score of 2-0. Match kicks at 8 tonight. 11 games to go in the regular season for Austin. They are in last place of the Western Conference with 19 points. Baseball last night, Rangers pound the Astros in the Lone Star Series 8-1. Texas tagged a Houston starter, Zach Greinke, for all 8 runs over 5 innings. He was making his first start, Greinke, since a battle with COVID, and looked like he was dragging a little bit. Ranger rookie slugger Adolis Garcia tied the team's single-season rookie home run record with his 30th home run. That ties a record held previously by Pete Incaviglia. In baseball last night, Dodgers clinched a spot in the NL playoffs with a win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. First-place Giants clinched a spot on Monday, and Round Rock wrapped up a series with Sugar Land with a 6-3 loss at Dell Diamond.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Football's back. Come do your end zone dance after you buy or rent the equipment you need and win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
Yeah, all right. So good stuff there. We'll hear more from a very likable Casey Thompson, I think is a fair way to put that. Casey Thompson coming off really, you know, his thoughts. You know, he was available for that video Zoom conference yesterday, our first conversation with Casey since Hudson Card initially won the starting quarterback job, and he's easy to root for. I think that's fair to say. Just his demeanor. And remember, Zay told the story earlier, remind us of the story, that when Steve Sarkisian was announced as the new head coach at Texas, immediately Casey Thompson back home, because, of course, it happened just after the new year, Casey Thompson called or texted to CDC, Chris Del Conte, and got a hold of Steve Sarkisian's phone number from the AD and said, hey, I want to call him and be the first call and get that playbook and go to work. Because he was planning on being the starting quarterback, and now he'll get his opportunity on Saturday. Zay, though, I sent you a couple of Norm MacDonald videos, because we got to pay tribute to the 61-year-old comedy legend who passed away yesterday. And look, he was just a comedian, right? And kind of a bit character in some movies. And of course, Saturday Night Live was his high watermark, I would say, as far as stardom goes. But somebody texted and said, last night I just spent couple of hours watching old Norm MacDonald videos on YouTube, and what a genius. Here's a little bit. So this is, I believe this is from an ESPY Awards back in the day, because Norm MacDonald, in addition to being a comedian, was a very big sports fan and always had some good stuff on the sporting world. Let's see how this sounded, Zay. This is an oldie, oldie but a goodie.
Charles Woodson, how about that? And what a season he had. Great, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off.
Oh, what?
Raw and savage.
Folks, before we can begin...
By the way, word from Saturday Night Live, the one reason he got run off of Saturday Night Live was that he told too many O.J. Simpson jokes that people got it to be where it was got to be offensive, but he didn't ever relent on that. I remember there was an interview where Norm MacDonald was asked when he got fired by Saturday Night Live and got pulled off of the anchor desk for the new weekly news. He said, yeah, I had a disagreement with my employer. I really wanted to keep my job, and they really disagreed. Oh, I thought that was good. Here's a little bit more. This is one of my favorites. When I think of Norm MacDonald, I do think immediately, like the first thing I think of, I don't think of the weekend anchor deal. I think of him playing Burt Reynolds, Turd Ferguson, on the Jeopardy spoof.
Mr. Reynolds, unfortunately, you're in the lead, so we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll take the condom thing for $8,000.
That's condiments. For $400. This condiment is made from mustard seeds. French Stewart.
The answer, of course, is onions. I'll take condiments for $800, thank you.
That's not the right answer. Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay. Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
You buzzed in.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion.
I hate my job. The answer was mustard. Mustard is made from mustard seeds. Mr. Reynolds, it's still your board.
Yeah, well, why don't you give me 8 tit for 200?
It's not 8 tit. It's a petite, never mind. Let's just go to animal sounds for 600. This is the sound a doggy makes. Mr. Connery.
Moo.
No.
Well, that's the sound your mother made last night.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's not necessary. Burt Reynolds.
Who is Scooby-Doo?
No.
Yeah. That was a funny dog, Scooby-Doo. He drove around a van and solved mysteries.
That is incorrect.
No, that's correct. I remember you had a pal, Scrappy-Doo.
Right, there we go. There's little Norm McDonald. We'll have some more of that before the end of the show. Love it. You a Norm fan? All comedians were fans of Norm McDonald because he was just so unique and so different.
Oh, yeah.
And genuinely unique and different. He wasn't trying to be that. It was just him.
Oh, yeah. And you look at that clip, that's a young Jimmy Fallon with him.
Oh, yeah.
Young Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And love that, those skits. We'll have some more of that montage of Norm McDonald this morning. He passed away 61 years young in a very long battle privately with cancer that he succumbed to yesterday. All right, so on the football side, we're talking Longhorns and the switch to Casey Thompson. Also talking Cowboys and the Lael Collins injury. Earlier in the show, we talked to our friend Ari Temkin from the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. He'll be part of that coverage on Sunday, pregame and postgame. And, you know, he had, Zay, kind of the same thought I did, that if, you know, Jerry Jones, of course, because he's the coach of the team, announced on the Cowboys radio, fan hit yesterday on 105.3 The Fan, that Terrence Steele would be the starter at right tackle in, for now, the suspended Lael Collins, who apparently missed a bunch of drug tests, like 7 of them, apparently, scheduled drug tests. But so didn't actually test positive, but as we know in the NFL, a missed test is a positive test if it is scheduled. So he's out for 5 games. And it starts this week with the LA Chargers and Joey Bosa, who's pretty good coming off the edge. Melvin Ingram's on the other side, and this is a good Charger defense. Terrence Steele is an undrafted player who played a lot last year, unfortunately, and, you know, got a little bit of a baptism. They say, at least Jerry Jones says, they're going with Terrence Steele. My thought would be, boy, I'd much rather, if I'm Dak Prescott, I'd rather see Zach Martin playing right tackle, which we saw him do last year, and, you know, that guy's going to the Hall of Fame. He's best at guard, but he can play anywhere. It's not ideal that he has to play right tackle, but he can do it. And what I saw from Connor McGovern last week against Tampa Bay would give me confidence that that'd be a pretty good right side with Tyron Smith and Connor Williams on the left side against this team. I think that might be the better way to go, but at least at the beginning, according to the coach Jerry Jones, they're going to go with Terrence Steele.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting what they do because, like you said, that Chargers defense is really good and they're very underrated. And Darwin James is back and he looked terrific against Washington. I want to say he was first among all defenders when it comes to coverage grade, which was at 90.2. So for a guy that missed as much time as he did and with all the aspirations that they have with him, he, I think, is a guy to look at too. In that secondary for the Chargers. So that offense for the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to have their work cut out for them.
Well, it is amazing, and this is not just to pile on the Cowboys, but I know we're not the only ones that say it, but the fact that to this point in the NFL in 2021, Jerry Jones as general manager and Stephen Jones do not value the safety position. When you mention the name Derwin Jones, I mean, if you watch the league on Sunday and all weekend, Derwin James. I mean, how many of these safeties? I mean, it's the most important position in football right now on defense. I mean, back in the day when it was a running league and 3 yards in a cloud of dust, you know, Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher and Mike Singletary. I mean, you needed that middle linebacker. That was the most important position. He was your quarterback on defense. He was the guy directing traffic. He was the guy in charge of stuffing up running games. Well, in this modern passing league, which it's become, that box safety that can do everything becomes the most important position on your defense. And the Cowboys still, it's like they're not watching. I mean, when I watched Sunday night with the Rams, you know, the Rams traded a first-round pick and others, the other stuff to get Jalen Ramsey, a cover corner. But they were smart enough to say, you know what, he's when we put him out here on an island and he just shuts down a receiver, we're not maximizing his ability. So they've developed a role for him that started last year with Brandon Staley, who's now the head coach of the Chargers, that he came up with this star position where you put Jalen Ramsey all over the field. You put him in the slot sometimes. You'll bring him off as a blitzer. You'll bring him in run support. And if you need to, on big third downs, he walks out and covers the best receiver. But you don't just leave him out there all game. You put him to work. And, gosh, we're seeing it. Jamal Adams does it for Seattle at the high level. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger in Kansas City. And Derwin James. And now Brandon Staley's his head coach. We saw it on Monday night with the Baltimore Ravens. They do it with Marlon Humphrey. He's their best corner, and he's now doing a very similar role. In a league where it's a lot of passing, and then they spread you and they do run, you need that guy who can man up on a tight end. If you've got a great tight end like Darren Waller for Vegas, who had a big night, but how many times did you see Darren Waller covered by Marlon Humphrey, their best corner? I'm still amazed, maybe I shouldn't be, that the Cowboys just refuse to make that a value. Everybody else in the league, Pete Carroll gave up 2 first-round picks to get Jamal Adams.
And then paid him,
knowing the value of it and the importance of it in this modern game that is, and they're hard to find. I mean, they're really, really hard to find. And you're talking about commodities in pro football right now, and that's why the Chargers are so excited to have Derwin James back. He's missed most of the last. As a rookie, Derwin James out of Florida State was an all-pro as a rookie. And then he's been hurt the last 2 years. But if he is indeed healthy, he'll be a problem for the Cowboys on Sunday. There is no problem for everybody. I mean, he's really, really good. And now Brandon Staley's his coach, and you know he's going to weaponize that dude. Cowboys need one, or everybody needs one at this point. And if you're not making it a priority, you're probably not paying attention to
Harrison
football.
Harrison Smith with the Vikings just got that bag too, and like you said, he's all over the field, and that's what the safety's becoming.
You know, it's just important because teams are so multidimensional and versatile offensively. And they're all looking for these big tight ends that can create mismatches and can run and pass out of those sets. You've got to have a guy that can neutralize that and a guy that can blitz the quarterback, drop back and play a deep safety if you need him to sometimes, and then go be a corner. I mean, there's just going to be times where you got to go shut a dude down in a big spot. Those guys are valuable. Those guys are really valuable. And the Cowboys' weakest part of their team continues to be their secondary for whatever reason. I know they're excited about Trayvon Diggs, who had the big interception in week one. But beyond that, I just don't see much. I like Micah Parsons a lot. I think they got a steal with that pick. But, you know, these guys we talk about, Zay, they've been available. I mean, they've been out there. I mean, you can, you know, trade for guys and go after guys. And, you know, the Cowboys could have actually drafted Jalen Ramsey the year they drafted Zeke Elliott. And that's always been a raging debate up in the Metroplex that with the 4th pick, the Cowboys took Zeke, not Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey went the next pick to the
Jacksonville. I heard bell.
To Jacksonville and now traded to the Rams. And he's one of the best defensive players in this league. Meanwhile, Zeke Elliott, if you watch the game on Thursday night, has become a very high-priced decoy and pass blocker because that's what he was. And I know that was the game plan against a very good run defense in Tampa. We'll do buck-ons tomorrow, Zay, but going back and watching some of that game again, Zeke Elliott was a terrorizer and just great in pass pro. I mean, they would bring – boy, he'd get up there and put his face in with defensive ends. He'd put – here comes a blitzing linebacker up the gut to get after Dak, and there was that – I mean, Zeke just boom. I mean, and really taking on that block. And if you go back and watch a lot of those big third downs that the Cowboys converted, it was Zeke picking up a blitzer, which allowed the play to happen. And when Dak had that huge game and the Cowboys had a lead late – and then I'm watching on Monday night, and, you know, we talk about the Baltimore Ravens. They just insert a running back, and this guy, Tyson Williams, had 100 yards and a touchdown. But on the play that swung the game, Tyson Williams was in, and he whiffed on a block that turned out to be the strip sack fumble that gave the Raiders the ball back to win the game in overtime, and he didn't even attempt the block. I mean, I know it was against the defensive end, Carl Nassib, but same time, got to protect that quarterback. That's your role back there, and Zeke did a hell of a job of it in week one. He'll have to do more of that in week two against Bosa and Derwin James and the L.A. Chargers. That game 3:25 on Sunday. You'll hear it here on the Horn. It's another full weekend as we're looking forward. We got high school football Friday night with all the loaded coverage with Flex ATX and IHS Fan, and then Longhorns on Saturday, Cowboys on Sunday here on the Horn. We'll come back. We'll pick up these conversations. Once you hear from Casey Thompson, he is the new, at least for now, Longhorn starting quarterback, on how he felt when he found out he originally lost the job, and then you know, what he's done to earn it back and what he plans to do with this this opportunity that he has been given by Steve Sarkisian. Also, Craig Way has his Craig Way report. We've got Salacious Gossip. We have your Blitz. They're all coming on a Wednesday, live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
We roll on this Wednesday, National Thank You Day. National Thank You Day. So, Zay, make sure you're saying your thanks today, your proper thanks. I know we have Thanksgiving coming up in November. Today is actually National Thank You Day. And really do say thank you to all of the folks who make this a part of their morning, each and every morning, as long as you can. We always make it as easy as possible. I know sometimes we've got the interference with our FM signal. That's why we give you the Horn app, and you can always find it there. Nothing more frustrating. You want to hear the show and what we're doing and having a good time and can't, but that, make sure you check out that Horn app, and we do podcast every segment, every hour of this show after our show. Zay does a great job of splicing that up and putting it onto the podcast and SoundCloud and on our website at hornfm.com. So you can go back and listen to the conversations in the interview with Brian Davis last hour with the Statesman and Ari Temkin earlier. But really do thank you for finding us. It was great. Went to, on the trip to Fayetteville on Saturday, Zay, and so many folks on the trip and on the plane are listeners every morning, and you know, just come up and give you a little pat. Hey, good show. Appreciate y'all. You and Bucky are hilarious, making my morning. Zay does a great job. So that's cool. Whether I, you know, that was there or see somebody at HEB or wherever, appreciate it. So thank you, because without you, there is no us. And without us, what would you do when you're driving to work in the morning? You have to listen to people yell at each other about other things. You know, Zay?
Yeah, there's a lot of BS out there, so I'm glad y'all listening to us.
And I'm sure if you flip around the dial this week, you've heard our friend Bobby Bones over on whatever channel he's on now. He's a big Arkansas fan. Big Arkansas fan. I know he was at the game Saturday, I'm sure, so he's been on his Teeny Bopper show. I'm sure he'd been gloating a little bit this week. But he's earned the right, because the Razorbacks rolled the Longhorns on Saturday. But thank you for all that you do to make the Horn what it is. And we appreciate that. Zay, thank you for the work that you do, my friend.
Hey, no problem. Thank you guys for giving me a job. Damn.
Hey, a lot of jobs out there. And if you wanted to, you could raise it up and go work a lot of places. A lot of jobs to be had out there, but you do a great job for us. We appreciate that. And Bucky will return tomorrow. I know a lot of folks, where is Buck? Buck is dealing with some, no major emergencies, but personal stuff with his wife. We mentioned last week she flew to Florida for a medical procedure, and she's got some follow-ups on that. And so Buck will be back here tomorrow. He wants to be with her for that today. So he'll return for a Buck Off Thursday, and we'll have some fun. But right now we're talking Texas football. We've got a Craig Way report coming up. I wanted the fans to hear from Casey Thompson. You know, we played a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour and a little last hour, but Bears letting you hear it again if you missed it, but they're here for the first time, or if you heard it. But Casey Thompson on how he felt when he was told by Steve Sarkisian that he was going with Hudson Card. The Card had won the gig and was going to start the Louisiana game and then subsequently the Arkansas game. Here was Casey Thompson on his initial reaction back a couple of weeks ago.
Well, like I said, I literally just try to focus on one day at a time. And so, you know, the day that I found out that I was not going to be named the starter, obviously I took that with a grain of salt. And, you know, I said, I'm going to let this hurt and I'm going to let this motivate me. And, you know, I turned my phone off and I called my family and I watched TV. I watched some football games. I watched some more film, watched a few movies, kind of just relaxed. And then, like I said, I woke up on Monday morning and I said, I'm going to make this a positive. I'm going to let God use me and use my work ethic and my perseverance through this test.
All right. So what you would hope to hear, not take my ball and go home, or, you know, a lot of people worried Casey would transfer. But I think Casey understood, just listening to that yesterday, Zay, that he felt like he'd get an opportunity. You know, Sark told them both would play. And, you know, Casey believed all along he'd get a chance. The competition was close, and give him credit. Even in the fourth quarters he played, he came in games that were decided for the most part. But gosh, even in a 33-7 game on Saturday, played like it was the first quarter, and really played with some intensity, brought some energy and juice to that locker, to that huddle, which it needed. And you know, no matter the score, he was looking to perform, put points on the board. Coaches love seeing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a confident guy who has been confident since day one. Like right when Sam Ehlinger left to go to the Colts, he felt like he deserved to be the starting quarterback, and he's all, you know, went with his approach as, oh, hey, I'm the starter. And even with him getting benched, he still took that approach, and you could really respect that, and you could hear it in his voice.
Well, and one other, and we played this a couple times, but I like it because people immediately thought Casey may transfer if he doesn't earn it because, again, he's been here 3 years. This is his fourth year on campus, and if he's not going to start this year, when's he going to start? But that was not at all how Casey reacted to the news.
I mean, for me at this point, like I told you guys before, I'm very thorough in my thought process and my approach to things. But I mean, at this point, I mean, I'm already in this thing, and I've waited my opportunity, and I've waited so long. It's like there's no way that I could just quit and let up at this point. So my thought process was, yeah, it hurt for a second, and I'm gonna let it sting, but I'm gonna wake up the next day. Literally, I took a day to kind of, you know, think about it and soak it all in. And then as soon as the Monday comes around, I just woke up and I went back to work, and I said, no matter what happens, I'm going to be ready to play, and I'm going to take this thing over when the opportunity presents itself. And so that was my thought process and kind of my mindset going through it. It was just trust the process, like I said, and just continue to persevere and work hard. And my mindset was, you know, if I'm not going to get named week one and it's not going to be given to me, then I have to go take it myself, and I have to show my teammates that I'm just going to continue to work hard and be the best I can be every day. So that's the attitude I'm having with it.
It's interesting. I do. The last part there is interesting, where he said, maybe he did think it was going to be given to him. Maybe he did think it was going to be his job. And that's what Sark was trying to get, with him to separate and go take it. Now, we will never know that, or maybe we will someday, but we won't know anytime soon. But that's the mindset you want. Now that's the mindset you want Hudson Card to keep, because I am of the opinion that if over 8 months, because people, we've been going back and forth on Twitter with a lot of folks today about this since Saturday, because people immediately started calling for, I mean, while I'm at the game, I'm getting texts that get rid of Hudson, put in Casey. And I will say this, up in the upper deck at Fayetteville, it was harder to sell, because what I was seeing was the overview of the offensive line getting demolished play by play. And then, because you can, you know, from up there, Zay, you can look down and I can see on defense the flyover coverage that Barry Odom's playing. He's got three safeties. I mean, they're deep 20 yards across the boundary. There's one on each hash. There's one dead in the middle. They're daring Texas to run the football, and they're not going to give up any big plays. And Texas was just getting demolished at the line of scrimmage. So that's what I'm seeing. And obviously Casey was struggling, but went back and watched the game, and now I see why my buddies were texting me, because you could see that Casey was rattled. Casey's eyes were not where you want. There was not a lot of fire in his eyes. There was more panic in his eyes, and I'm assuming that's what the other players saw, that's what the coaches saw, and that's why people wondered if they would have gone to him sooner, that he was not handling that. It wasn't his fault, or all his fault, I should say. There was a lot of things not going right around him, but maybe this is where the experience of Casey, 3 years in the program, waiting his turn, you know, just didn't play a lot behind Sam Ehlinger, but he did see a lot behind Sam Ehlinger, saw how Sam handled situations, absorbed that a little bit, and so maybe that's where they're going here. But, Casey's going to have to be, you know, when they see Texas Tech in 2 weeks, I don't know that they'll be challenged that much by Rice, but, boy, they get into these games, you know, there's going to be times when Casey's under that fire, too, where things aren't going well. We'll get to see how he handles it, but it does seem like a pretty down-to-earth guy who's a competitor, who just is going to – it would be a cool story if he goes ahead and seizes this opportunity and moves forward. I would say for Steve Sarkisian, to finish that point, if Hudson did win the whole 8-month quarterback battle, I don't know if he just pulled the plug on it after two games, but I guess I it's not to – because I'm not rooting for either side. I'm trusting that the coach is going to make the best call for this football team. But, you know, if you believe that Hudson does have the higher ceiling – and you feel like you have a good backup in Casey, because someone got to ride that out. But I do think everything that revealed itself on Saturday, Zay, led to this, not just Hudson's performance, but what they're going to deal with the rest of the year. Casey may give them a better chance. And you said earlier, Zay, that you think the locker room has kind of been behind Casey the whole time.
Yeah. If you go back and look at, you know, just the Instagram on UT's Instagram or Twitter, just to see how, you know, they react to Casey and how, you know, jokingly they are with him and just how he has, you know, everybody's trust and whatnot, it seemed like he was going to be the starter from jump. But obviously things have, you know, been different. And I think the offensive line is the biggest thing. I think if the offensive line was great, then Hudson Carr will probably still be the starter. But the fact that it's not, and it probably won't be for the whole season, I think Casey is the best option right now.
I think that's well said. I think at the end of the day, of all the quarterback debate, I think both are good young men. I think both are good players. And it was as close as razor close as Sark said it was. And what he saw on Saturday, you know, led him to that. And not just what he saw, but then go back and watch the film. Because the other thing you could see, Zay, from above, the bird's eye view from the upper deck in Arkansas was he had some open guys at times. Because in that flyover coverage, there were some routes where if he pulls the trigger, it's there. I mean, you just got to get the ball out of your hand. And I'm sure in film work, they went back and saw that. And understood that, you know, Casey was, and this goes back to what Sark said after the Louisiana game. This is one of the things they're working on with Hudson is to keep his eyes up. Keep his eyes up. Don't, just because the rush is coming doesn't mean you have to look at it. You got to trust your, this is where when Sark talks about trusting your training, keep your eyes up, get rid of it. You might take some hits, but the ball's out. And we're completing some passes, and that didn't happen. So we'll see how Casey Thompson does on Saturday. 7 o'clock, the kick time in his first ever start at Texas. Pretty cool. So we'll see how that goes. Fired up for it. We're fired up for the blitz. Can we do a no Bucky blitz coming up on a day in which we've learned that, yes, indeed, Nick Saban does like D's nuts jokes, like he's a D's nuts kind of guy, which we'll let you hear again coming up. The player, this thing is a great piece of audio gold in our salacious gossip. We'll play it. One of the players at Alabama revealing that his coach does like to go 13 years old every now and again. Also, the other salacious gossip on this National Thank You Day. We'll hit it. And thank you to Craig Way. He's got a report this morning.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just the gossip. That is right. It's ahead of your blitz. So load that up, 447-3776. Gossip brought to you by Bud Light and the Bud Light Seltzers now, which everybody is just loving on, especially in these hot days that we've got. But check them out. Those are only 100 calories, and they come in so many different flavors. That's the cool part. Zay, I will admit that recently I tried one of the Bud Light Seltzer, I think it was the cucumber flavor. I'm going to get to lose my man card for that if I even had it. But it was pretty damn good. I'm a fan of cucumber-flavored beverages, apparently. It's not like, 'cause I don't like the fruity ones and the ones that are real sweet. But the Bud Light Seltzer cucumber-lime, I think it might have been. Pretty good.
Since it's cucumber, I think that man card still secure.
Yeah, man. Well, I liked it. I don't like the real fruity ones. Those things are... Yeah.
Now, if you're drinking mango, then...
Mango your tango! But, hey, listen, we got a lot going on this week. Got an Austin FC game tonight. Austin FC playing LAFC. That's at the Q2 Stadium. We've got Texas and Rice on Saturday, of course. And we'll be out at the Tail Garden, the Texas Tail Garden, 17th and San Jacinto. Come on and see us. Rod Babers and myself will be holding it down there while Chad and Bucky hold down Bevo Boulevard. It's our double barrel pre-game coverage of Texas and Rice for every home game. Look forward to being there for all the home games this year for the Longhorns, including Saturday. So come on over. And the cool thing about the Tail Garden, Zay, we've got air conditioning, AC cranking in the Sangarundi Hall, which we're excited about. So come on over on your way to Bevo Boulevard. It's a good stop off on your way through there, and we'll have some fun. Well, we had the koozies last week, Zay. I mean, gosh, we couldn't keep them on the table. People popping those koozies, man. People love them. But come get a koozie, pick up some prizes, have some fun with us at the Texas Tail Garden, brought to you by Michelob Ultra, and Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. All right, Zay, can we play this audio? This is Alabama player. Alabama plays Florida this week in one of the top, if not the top matchup of the weekend. Number 1 against number 11. It's an SEC tilt. And hopefully Alabama got ready for that tilt by having some fun with Mercer last Saturday. Holy cow. But so who is this player? Antonio Poole, I think you said his name was, or something like Jordan Peele, or... Oh, whatever. You had his name, but he's a player.
They just crap another player. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they crap players that way. You can't even think of all their names. But so, asked about... Well, you hear the question. This is a media Zoom conference with some Alabama players. Here's how this sounded yesterday.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of the other older guys about this, but do you have a favorite saying that Saban has, one of his little coaching, quips he has?
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many, but... There are a few I like, and he always talking about touch D's suck on D's or all that.
Charlie.
I think he meant encouraging was like.
Oh, no.
I don't know how to follow that one up, but
so I don't know what's funnier, Zay, is him saying suck on D's or the SID, the sports information director, who's clearly behind him going, no, don't do that. No. And then I think you heard him say something like, I think he meant those as encouragement. Hey, listen, people don't like to joke today. People don't like to joke. Don't be talking about D's. We do it on this show because we're 12.
Does Nick Saban need sensitivity training?
I just think he likes to quip, joke. You know,
yeah, he's a normal guy.
A lot of serious stuff, but then every once in a while, you know, you want to be adolescent again and do something silly. That's why we do the Blitz, for crying out loud. A lot of serious sports talk here on this show. A lot of deep, thorough research and debate, and then we have the Blitz. So that's the way that goes. And this little gossip thing. How about we heard a little bit earlier, but the passing of Norm Macdonald at 61 years old. Very sad. I don't know if comic legend is too strong, but for me, in my era, my generation, he's been omnipresent all the way through on Saturday Night Live and in movies and obviously on television, hosting the ESPYs. I think he did one or two times. But here's Norm Macdonald. Here's a montage of him as my favorite Norm Macdonald character, playing Turd Ferguson, Burt Reynolds, on Celebrity Jeopardy.
Mr. Reynolds, unfortunately, you're in the lead, so we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll take the condom thing for $8,000.
That's condiments. For $400. This condiment is made from mustard seeds. French Stewart.
The answer, of course, is onions. I'll take condiments for $800, thank you.
That's not the right answer. Burt Reynolds. Okay.
That's not my name.
All right, there we go. We heard that earlier. We have a montage of just him doing his thing, so we'll get to that here coming up. But that's good stuff. Hey, Zay, we mentioned this, but this is good. Taco Bell trying out by the way, if this works, they won't be the last fast food restaurant to do this with you fast food addicts out there. But Taco Bell testing out a taco subscription service, $5 to $10 a month. You get one free taco every day. You have to order through the app. But this locks you in. You're now either a $5 subscriber or a $10 subscriber monthly. Would you eat enough to make it worth its while?
No. You know how lowball you have to be to get one taco every day?
I agree with that. Is there a fast food restaurant in which you would be a subscriber?
Like maybe
Chick-fil-A?
Maybe. If Dan's Hamburgers came to me with something, your boy would be in trouble. Your boy would be in trouble.
So you would, because look, if it's this, I think the way this goes, then only Taco Bell is doing it for $10 a month. You can get unlimited tacos for the month, but only one a day. But if you're doing that at Dan's, it'd have to be more than that, right? You'd have to jack up the rate a little bit because the food is of higher quality. But all right, subscription fast food. Here's where we are now. Here is where we are now, apparently, in the USA. Good old US of A. All right, let's get to your Blitz. It's time to hit it.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right. Says a Bucky-less Blitz. So, and Nick Saban talking about D's. Let's get to your first Blitzer. You're up.
Hey, shout out. Digger from Louisiana, no power, no cable, no internet. I'm sitting outside a coffee shop trying to get to listen to you guys.
Well,
I want to say QB Thompson did a fabulous job raising his son, and he has given me a glimmer of hope and looking forward to the season in this crappy weather we're having. So shout out to Thompson. I hope he does well this year.
All right. Well done. And hey, listen, we had National Thank You Day even to Digger for going out of his way to find our show. No power in Louisiana, finding internet outside a coffee shop. Thank you, Digger. Next, Butzer, you're up.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Aaron, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, Buggy's not with his wife. He's with me right next to me. Where are donuts?
I don't believe that. Maybe there was a time in the past where I might have believed that, but not today. Not current Bucky Godbolt. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
D's nuts.
Thank you, Nick Saban. By the way, the player was who said suck on D's was Jordan Battle. Jordan Battle, secondary member for Alabama. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Vince Young. Yeah, hey, if I was the Buck, I wouldn't have came to work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
You guys have no clue, man.
Let's go.
I know Vince Young is the greatest Longhorn football player of all time, in many, many people's opinion. And he's working like three jobs, eh? The guy's like Snoop Daniel. like my son, working three jobs. He's got a real estate deal that he's doing. He's got a steakhouse, working at UT, using him in recruiting. And I know already about my million texts now. He sold out. He's not involved in the steakhouse. I know it's a joke. It's a joke.
He's not hooping at Lifetime Fitness still, is he?
I've heard that. You know, else I heard hoops over at Lifetime? Michael Griffin, your guy who still owes you $100.
He fouls over there at Lifetime.
Is he a little rough?
Yeah, he's a hack. Football players trying to hoop always hacks.
They like to bring the ruckus.
Yeah.
Brings the ruckus at the Lifetime Fitness. All right, we'll be back. Hey, we're going to break a little bit of news. Not too breaking, but we got some great stuff. Plus, if you're a baseball fan, you want to be with us next. We have 3 weeks, or inside 3 weeks to go in the Major League Baseball season. Our baseball expert will weigh in on where we're headed into the postseason. It's B&E on the Horn.